Here. Trustee Green.
Aye.
Trustee Zeller.
Here.
Trustee Gass.
Here.
Trustee Genrich.
Here.
Trustee Dart.
Here.
Trustee Van Oven's here. Are there any suggested modifications to the agenda this evening? Is there a motion to approve the agenda as submitted?
Trustee, just noting the number of folks here tonight, if there's a need to move an agenda item, I was just looking here to see where we're.
I don't think there is.
It's there not on the agenda. They're speaking under the public.
Okay, all right.
Trustee Genrich, and is there a second? Trustee Gass.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Are there any announcements this evening? For those of you who haven't heard, our administrator, Administrator Flukey, has submitted her resignation to pursue a dream and to go on to greener pastures. So May 2nd will be her last day, and the board will be convening to decide a strategy to take to find a replacement for our administrator. Any other announcements?
Just one thing. And I had sent out an email, I think, a few days ago, but the Central Brown County Water Authority will be meeting on Tuesday, April 29th, and that is to discuss revisions to the member agreement, which does affect Alloway because we're going to be looking at changing our purchased capacity as part of the Water Authority.
The minimum amount?
You're going to lower the minimum?
We're going to lower that minimum down to a more reasonable number, so that'll be one change. And the refinancing, and the impact of the refinancing on the communities. So it would be a good meeting to attend if you can make it.
What's the date?
It is the April 29th at 6 p.m., and it'll be at the Lawrence Town Hall. So April 29th, 6 p.m. at Lawrence.
Any other announcements?
On a very positive note, the Alloway Greater Green Bay Kiwanis Club is hosting their annual Palm Sunday Pancake and Porky Breakfast, formerly at Eve's, will be at the right place on Palm Sunday morning. So we'll put some signs up there so people end up in the right place. So technically the right place. Yeah.
Close enough to Alloway.
Right. Yeah, it's across the river.
Any other announcements? Trustee Zeller.
The Village Grill here, this is likely my last village board meeting, unless we have some special sessions called before that. So I'd like to just say that I've enjoyed serving with everybody presently on the board and previous board members. I'd like to recognize Trustee Green's commitment to the village, and also Trustee Kolpish's.
You don't serve the second meeting in April. I suppose not. It's the new guard will completely take over that day. Yeah, I'd like to acknowledge all three of them. Mm-hmm. Combined years of service, not only to Alloway, but Paul spent some time at the county as well. And one of the reasons that I got into local politics was because of the rhetoric and the interaction between the board, the Alloway Village Board that I saw at that time, were federal and state level kind of politics were eking their way into the board, and it was becoming very efficient. And this board, including trustees Kopisch, Green, and Zeller, have avoided at all costs any sort of personal agendas or vendettas or politics. And I think the village is much better off as a result. So it's been a pleasure to work with all three of you. Any other announcements? Public appearances. I think there might be some people here to speak tonight. Yes, sir.
First of all, with my deafness, you don't have that equipment out there. Could you all speak up a little bit? Can I hear what you're saying? Thank you. And secondly, although I'm going to address one of my two subjects is going to be the same as what these people are here for, I had no involvement with them coming here. That happened to be.
Why not?
I'd admit it.
You take credit.
The concerns tonight are about some public works things. The first is the Hoffman Road project. You have to forgive me. I had all this printed typed up real nicely on my computer and my printer went over. I had to quickly handwrite it, so I might stammer around a little bit. First is the Hoffman Road project, where you are not going to assess for curb and gutter and sidewalk, citing public purpose. Established practice and policy for many, many years was that abutting property owners pay for new streets improvements, except for sidewalks were assessed at one half. Corner lots were given a footage reduction on one side, which I think should have been done applied on Hoffman. And since you have federal funding involved, at least you could assess half of the village's costs. I think that would have been fair. The ordinance has been amended, I don't know when, to not assess if the improvement served a public purpose. And for lack of a more diplomatic term, I call that a cop-out if you have a controversial subject. Because all sidewalks and street improvements are public purpose. So that's my opinion on that. Furthermore, the decision is inequitable. Walks sometimes ordered in along school roads were assessed at a half. Owners were also promised that the village would plow the snow. Yet when the hill pistol were developed across the street, they were required to pay all of the costs of the sidewalk. But on the other hand, you're going to go down Hoffman Road and provide the private owners as well as the business owner, the shopping center, sidewalks at no cost, except to all of us. You're applying a standard of different strokes for different folks, and that simply is not right and fair. In fact, you might even could invite a lawsuit or something like that. So give it some thought. Next, we have the walk program that you approved recently, and in order to try and obtain grant monies. And I guess where did that idea come from? Ray, you were on the Comprehensive Planning Committee, the Long Range Planning Committee, several years ago, and that committee and the board both nixed the idea of the plans to put sidewalks all over the village. You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
About 10 years ago, maybe, before you were on the board.
It's at least 10 years ago. 12.
12?
Yeah.
Well, anyhow. The rationale I've heard so far is that this project's going to be paid 80% by the funds. That's a very unwise reason to do something that's not needed. I'm wondering what studies were needed for the need and locations, counts of the walkers, whether they asked the school board for walker information. I'm told that there's one resident broker who says there are exactly 3 students that walked up the bridge at the Webster School.
That's right.
Elway's population is almost identical right now than what it was in 1970. Elway enrollment for the elementary schools in 1972 was 1,948. In 2010, it was 1,029, a little over half. Webster in 1985 was 597 students. Yesterday, it was 345. So you have a substantial enrollment decline, and really substantial. And suddenly, it's very important that we have sidewalks for the schools. That just simply doesn't make sense to me. There's never been a fatality of a child walking to school in Elway, to my knowledge, in the last 45 years. The only accident related to school attendance, to my knowledge, where is she? Because Ronnie got hit by a car across the yard.
Big lift.
That's why I'm going to lose my place. Let's be very liberal and presume that 20% of the students at Webster will walk to school on those streets. That figures out to $8,600 per student. It's just pure and simply does not make any sense. By that way, the thing I overlooked too. How come we're going full stream ahead with this project, it appears, without involving the affected property owners?
Yes.
You were not invited here. Somebody found out and he decided to show up, which is to their credit.
to not inform the people beforehand. That's not the Alloway way, and I think he should revert to the Alloway way of getting people involved. And if I think anything later, I'll ask to come back, but I think I'm done for the moment. That's enough. Thank you.
Clarence, brokerage. You had something about brokerage sidewalks?
Sir, you have the floor.
Yes, thank you. My name is Mike List. I live at 232 East St. Joseph Street. I've been there 20 years, 1992. Since I've been there, I've gotten notices. Anytime Harry Mocko wanted something done, I got a notice on my front door. Somebody knocked, left the notice. When they were redoing St. Joseph Street, I got a notice on my front door. I got a knock on my door to discuss it. 20 years I've been there. I watch the kids. I'm up in the morning at 7 o'clock. I'm home at 3. If six kids walk down St. Joseph Street to school, that's it. If six kids walk home from Webster School down St. Joseph Street, that's it. A bus stops on my corner in the morning. Two girls get on in the morning. Two kids get off in the afternoon. I'm a crossing guard, building crossing guard for Alloway. The busiest intersection is by the Y. Otherwise, I've done Libel. I've done the other streets. And if I've crossed six kids in the morning and six kids in the afternoon, that is it. I don't think adding a sidewalk to the south side of the street is going to increase kids walking to school. Kids just do not walk to school nowadays. The only people that really use that sidewalk are dog walk people that walk their dogs. And the other two people or people that use that sidewalk are the drug and alcohol classes from Pell and Psychiatric that come out and constantly smoke on the corner and then distribute their cigarette butts into the street. And now Bishop Court has their employees walking to the sidewalk there, smoking their cigarettes and throwing them into the street. That's a whole other subject I've been fighting for 5 years now. But we do not need another sidewalk for nobody to walk on. That's all I have to say. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Mary Jo Nelson, I live at 201 Brookridge, approximately probably six houses down from Webster School. We've lived there 42 years. When we moved into that street, there was not a street a tree on the front of any of the houses. The people on Brookridge Street used their own money, fixed up their front yard, trees in. I counted from my house down. If you put a sidewalk in, you'd be destroying at least 20 trees, which I would be all for if we knew it was going to save somebody from getting hurt. But we've been there 42 years. No one has ever been hurt from walking in the street. Brookridge doesn't go all the way through, so it's fairly a safe street. The kids used to play kickball in there, in the middle of the street, and then they jump car and then scatter. But I think you had kids. We had a lot of kids that walked up to Webster School or to Alloway School, and just all that time, there's never been a problem. And you could knock on wood. What else was I going to say? I'm wondering why in the study Dolphin wasn't on there, because people barrel down Dolphin Street. If you want to pick a street that needs to be safer, I would think Dolphin Street could use a sidewalk. And then someone had mentioned about shoveling, but did somebody here mention that the town would pay for the shoveling?
If not they anymore. Would?
Oh, not anymore. Okay. I guess that's about the gist of what I wanted to say for right now. Yeah, I don't think we need it. If there was proof that we actually needed it, if there were accidents or things, I'd be all for it, especially since the property owners didn't have to pay for it. But I just don't see a need to destroy the look of our street, I guess. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Bob Gernert, I'm at 213 on Brookridge Street, 213. I echo Ms. Nelson's response about a sidewalk. So I see three kids walking down from the Webster School down Brookridge, but they're normally accompanied by their parent, a dad, usually. We don't see any accidents on that street. It's a very, and I echo her feeling, why not go down Dolphin? A lot of kids go down Dolphin from the school over to Alloway Avenue, and a lot of them cross Alloway Avenue to go up the road there. So to put sidewalks on Brook Ridge, I don't really see any need for that, because we don't have any accidents, haven't had any accidents, except my wife over there on Webster. But that's it. To move mailboxes is a problem. We have a problem. And all the trees that are right next to the curb would also be a problem, plus other types of material. Like I have a tree, plus it's fenced in. Who takes care of that? We do. But who would in the event you put sidewalks up and down that street? I really don't see any need for a sidewalk on Brooklyn Street.
Thank you.
Okay?
Yes, sir.
Hi, I'm Steve Hamblin. I live at 316 East St. Joseph Street. And I apologize for not knowing about this sidewalk issue earlier. I just found out about it yesterday. And what I've come to understand is that it was not communicated well. People were not involved. If that's the case, I'm very disappointed in the leadership of the town for not letting that. It's an important issue. It tears up people's yards. There's a report that may be that's issued that says it's needed, but if it's needed, the residents don't know that it's needed. So that leads me to question whether this report is really that thorough, because they obviously didn't communicate with anybody that's out there. They're using just base data to generate it and not talking to the residents. That's one of my concerns. The other one is, having lived there now for 3 or 4 years, I echo what other people have said. On St. Joseph Street, there is no school children traffic. If there are kids going to school, if it's 2 a day each direction, maybe 3 on a busy day, that's a lot. The majority of the people are dog walkers in the evening. They seem to be fine using the Bellin sidewalk on the other side of the street. Or it's traffic from the two places that this gentleman just mentioned. It's either from the hospital or the nursing home. They walk their families up and down the sidewalks. Very nice. It's a nice sidewalk. If you do it on the other side of the street, the south side of the street, where I live, now not only are you going to have to tear up trees and sidewalk, but you're going to have to tear up the fire hydrants. Because there are 2 fire hydrants on that street that are in, I didn't eyeball it with a transit.
There's one on my corner.
But if you look at where the sidewalks typically go based on the easement, there are at least 2 of those fire hydrants that are in that easement. So now we've got a huge expense of having to relocate fire hydrants, as well as the added cost of sidewalks, which get no use at all anyway. And that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Sir?
Thank you. My name is Ed Keating, and I live at 153 Brook Ridge. My wife and I and our children have lived there about 12 years, I think. I noticed on the way over here tonight, all of the car traffic was backed up on St. Joe from Alloway Bank all the way down to that street there, right, where you have to turn to go into to Webster School. Somebody help me with that street.
Woodrow. Schrader. Schrader.
Yeah, I think it's because it's off of St. Joe. Okay. But anyway,
Little tiny
I don't know. So, but my point is, there's so much car traffic, and that's how the kids are getting to school, and that's how the kids are getting picked up. Now, I live on Webster. Our concern, if our concern is for safety and keeping the children out off the street, one of the things I've noticed over the years is the kids all run down Alloway when they're practicing for the Bellin Run. And so the kids are going to be in the streets anyway. I personally, I think you could put up 6-foot fences along a sidewalk that you put in on on Brook Ridge, and you would still have the traffic and the people going up and down that street to drop off their kids and to pick up their kids. What I would like to see is that parking lot that's there on Woodrow Way, a sidewalk running from there over to the school property. And then if people could drive to that parking lot, drop their kids off, maybe a little circle driveway in there, I'm not sure how much modification, maybe you wouldn't need any, just to repave it perhaps. But then having a sidewalk run from that parking lot over to the school grounds. The other thing that I miss is the presence of the police. We have been blessed to know that there haven't been any serious accidents with our children on those streets, because there's just a lot of cars, and some of them don't slow down properly. I almost thought that maybe even a speed bump there, but maybe that would make a difference. I don't know. But I don't think that putting in the sidewalk is going to make a difference because of its use, because of the fact that nowadays people get their kids to school and pick their kids up from school, and they do it by auto. And it's that I would like to see, even if we put in a sidewalk, I would like to see an increased police presence at certain hours of the day to protect our kids. So, that's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
Good evening. I have to apologize for being late to this meeting. John Batke at 225 Brook Ridge. I've lived there for over 35 years. I have a daughter who's 35, a little over. She made it safe and sound with no sidewalks. I would like to know the enrollment. Has that increased over the years, or has it decreased? And the concern. I came before this board when she was a child, and I had issues with Brook Ridge Street and the turning on the cars parked on both sides of the street. At that time, I presented the fact that I thought if you could put signs up on one side of the street to keep that from doubling up, having cars on both sides takes it down to a one-lane street. They had an officer, Perry, I'm sure many of you know him. Mm-hmm. He came and said there was no problem. There was no problem to him. It was a problem to the people that had their children at that school. But it went through that there were no signs put up. When his daughter started going to Webster, that's when the signs went up. And then there was a problem. I personally don't see any increase. In fact, I see a decrease in the number of children walking to school. I see a huge increase in the number of parents driving cars up that street, up Brook Ridge, to drop their kids off. I also see a huge increase in the amount of speed in those cars getting those kids there. Mm-hmm. And that's where the problem is. That sidewalk isn't going to do anything, as everybody else in here has somewhat reiterated. Police presence, a couple of tickets wouldn't, or a couple of warnings would not be out of line. But to go through and put in a whole car, I don't think it cost justifies. The other thing is, I'll go back to my signage. If that's the case, have them park on one side of the street to drop them off, on the other side to pick them up. I think you could save the town a lot of money. I understand that the money has to be, quote, borrowed, or portions of it have to be borrowed, which I don't think is a good idea at this time with this economy. So if people here are mostly from Brook Ridge, from what I can see, we've all lived there 30 plus years. Many of us have. I shouldn't say all of us. Many of us have. And I just cannot see Like somebody had mentioned, we were very fortunate without having any accidents or having any children that were hurt. The only person that in this room that was hurt was Ronnie, and she was crossing at St. Matt's. She was one of the crossers at St. Matt's. But I just cannot see a need for it at this time. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Hi, I'm Stephanie Hamlin. I live at 316 St. Joseph. I have two children that do walk home from St. Matt's, and they know to walk on the sidewalk. We have traffic lights that have stop and go, so they know when to cross and when to stop. You cross, go to the sidewalk, and walk down the street. I don't see why we have to put more sidewalks in when I go out and meet them halfway, they're the only two children ever walking. So why do we have to take, if it's supposedly free money, it's going to be costing some of us some money. Why not teach our children when we were young, stop, look both ways before you proceed? Most people do pick their children up and take them home. And I don't think that's going to change. But teaching your children how to cross the street again might be a good idea. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Hi, Dan Tyrion. This is my wife, Angela. We live at 2000 Jordan Lane. It sounds like we are the rookies of the neighborhood. Moved in 2006. Just found out from our neighbor here that about the sidewalk. I don't have anything new to bring to the table. I think everybody brought up some great points, just that we were disappointed. We didn't know about it, and we definitely don't want a new sidewalk in front of our house. And so I just want to thank everybody for the great comments and kind of echo those sentiments.
Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who'd like to speak with regard to this issue?
I have one more little comment.
Yes.
As far as safety for, and I'm waiting for someone to say, well, maybe if there's a sidewalk, the parents won't drive the kids to school. But I think times have changed. Yeah. You know, I felt safe letting my kids walk to school. I don't think I would now. And I think that's the feeling of a lot of people, that they're just going to drive them, make sure they get there and get home. Not going to worry about, you know, some pervert or something on the way home. Thank you.
Is this with regard to this issue, sir?
Yeah.
Yes.
Jim O'Rourke, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. What I have noticed is that somebody reached all of you and made a good effort to contact the public, and I think that the village needs to evaluate how they work with the public and get the word out. There's better ways to do it than we've been doing it.
Thank you. I think you're right.
Thank you.
That's right.
Is there anyone else who'd like to speak with regard to this issue? That's my major concern as well. We've had a few public works projects that have gone, there's been some bumps in the road. I remember using this phrase during the past couple of months where we just can't seem to get on track with making sure that people understand exactly what we're doing, sometimes with laterals over the winter and sometimes with the road reconstruction projects. And we've got to figure this out on making sure that people know what's going on. I think the last time we talked about this was the comprehensive plan and some things being in the comprehensive plan that may not affect property owners at all, but they should at least know that their properties are in the comprehensive plan. I think Schrader was an example of a sidewalk that may or may not go in, but it's in the comprehensive plan as being something that we're going to want to look at down the road. People shouldn't be surprised like that, and I think we took some actions afterward to notify people, hey, your area is in the comprehensive plan for this change or that change. It's not written in stone, but it's in this long-term plan. But we just need to do a better job of making sure that people are notified and have a say in the process. That having been said, we still rely on the experts, and we trust that the people doing these studies and try to oversee these studies so that they're taking into consideration all facets, not only how many kids might use a particular sidewalk now, but we have to think 5, 10, 15 years down the road as the population of Alloway changes. And we use the experts to make those projections. Now, I'm not defending the study. I'm not saying the methodology was correct or incorrect. But what I am saying is we can't just solely rely on today. It's our job to look down the road so that we're not surprised and have a population of young children who are walking in neighborhoods and then are put at risk. So
We need to revisit this issue. Three of you won't be here when we revisit it, but I'd like to see it put on the next agenda for a discussion of sort of the history of how we got here and how we want to go forward intentionally. Trustee Zeller.
I'd like the opportunity to respond to Clarence's question regarding the Hoffman Road sidewalks, and I want to explain my vote on that first. So the big picture in viewing the Hoffman Road sidewalks, in my mind, was with the sidewalk and the adjoining residential property owners along Hoffman, with the majority of the backyards facing the sidewalk and the front yards and the driveways of the homes facing other streets, I felt that the sidewalks were a public benefit but not a significant enough benefit attributed to the adjacent residential property owners to be able to assess them. And right or wrong, I just felt it was unfair to assess for a sidewalk that was separated by a fence in most cases and served the backyard of the property. And so that was my view from looking at the plan from a top-down engineering drawing, and I didn't really give enough attention to the commercial property owners. I guess I didn't look at it that way. I felt that the public benefit was enough to not assess the individual residential parcels. So that was explaining my vote on that. Regarding the sidewalk issue for the school, for the Webster School project, I did not vote in favor to seek the federal funding and the grant funding for that project. So the issue in my mind there was that we have far more needy projects in the village to spend our village portion of that project on than sidewalks. But for all of you in attendance, if it's any consolation, my experience has been that this board has listened to the residents' concerns probably more than any board that I've been a part of through the years, going back to the 90s and the early 2000s. So you have the ear of the board here.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Trustee Guest?
And just in follow-up to Paul's last comment, although you have the ear of the board tonight, you don't get the mouth of the board tonight, because all your comments were very well taken, I think very well presented, but they came through the public, appearance section of the board agenda. I mean, this issue is not on the agenda tonight, so we can't really discuss or take any action on. That's why the village president suggested it be placed on the next village board agenda for actual discussion and potential action by the board. But I just wanted you to know that you're not going to hear us talk about it tonight, and you're not going to get any answers tonight, because just the way it shows up on the agenda, because it's not listed as an agenda item. But I do appreciate your comments and the fact that so many people are in attendance. So show up at the next meeting, and then the board can have some discussion about it and take your comments and digest your comments as we review the plan from February of 2012. So it's almost 2 years old now.
I'm going to take, since we're in public appearances, I'm going to continue to take comments from our visitors. Yes?
Mr. Zeller's comments put an idea into my head. How feasible would it be to put in a sidewalk that would run the length of the park? Is it Alloway Park there?
Webster Park.
So it would parallel a Brook Ridge, be behind the houses, sort of between the baseball diamonds and the houses there. You wouldn't have to take out any fire plugs. You wouldn't have to take out any trees. And you'd still have a walkway if the kids wanted to, or anybody wanted to walk, that stretch of ground. Just a thought that occurred to me.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, what's his name?
No, I was just going to comment on, I don't know this gentleman, Dan. Is that your name?
No, Randy.
Oh, Randy. I thought it was Dan. Well, anyway, on your comments, you have the
I'll go on anyway.
I noticed that. The thing of it is, you said you have the ear of the board, but you don't have the mouth. Yet we weren't informed if this was going to be on the agenda or not. Yet you've got all these people here having a strong feeling. I don't expect you to do anything, basically. You know, you can talk it over and do whatever you do in your closed sessions. But to make a comment like that, stating that, you know, we're not going to do anything, at least listen to what was given to you. And you did say, well, we did listen, but we can't really... Well, I really don't think that's appropriate for the amount of people that are here and for the amount of people that have given up whatever it is they're doing tonight to make that kind of a comment.
I didn't mean to offend you, sir, but it's the open meetings law. I mean, we can't discuss things that aren't on the agenda.
I understand it, but I really don't care if it's open meeting or not. You still have all these people, of which you, as a board member, did not do your due diligence in informing the people of this issue. Did you or did you not?
We did.
Okay.
No. I mean, can we do better? But what I don't mean to say, I don't mean to be curt with you, and I want to have this conversation with you, but it's not on the agenda, so we can't. I mean, we have to follow what's on the agenda. And everybody made wonderful comments, and they all came through the public appearance section. But we can't have a board discussion and take action because it's not on the agenda. I mean, people wouldn't like that if we did things that weren't on the agenda. So what we're saying is, and the village president is going to put it on the next agenda for the board to actually talk about it and then take potential action.
Are you going to inform the people between now and then? That's my next question.
You can make
this word of mouth and go from phone call to phone call and stop some resident on the street and tell him and ask him if he would come and, you know, if you have an opinion, please come. I think that's really kind of poor, to be honest with you. In this day and age, with all your emails and everything else you have access to and a database.
And I agree that I started out my comments by saying we need to do a better job of this. That this study was done months ago, and this vote was taken a long time ago. Why it came up tonight, I don't know. We didn't expect all of you to be here. But that having been said, Trustee Gast's comments were meant to be positive. He appreciates all of you coming here, and he wanted to reassure you that we will take this up again in earnest, in full discussion, and possibly for a vote to rescind any previous action at the next board meeting. But we can't do it now. In fact, we're probably overstepping what we should do right now by having an interaction between the board.
We have word of mouth.
And
sir, excuse me,
I can't let you do that.
Yeah,
I can't let you. I'm going to have to ask you to leave if you.
I understand.
I've got the floor, sir.
Okay, my mistake.
By having this interaction, this is a public appearance section. What it's supposed to be is for people to speak and for the board to listen. And we're starting down a path where we're actually responding back and forth. We're stretching the limits of what we're supposed to be doing already, and that's all that he was trying to say, is that if you're not getting a lot of response from the board, a rationale, and this is what we're going to do, it's because we're not supposed to. We're supposed to stick to the agenda. The agenda is public appearances. We're listening to you on the next board meeting, which is the third Tuesday of April. This will be on the agenda, so I'm notifying you now.
Thank you.
It's going to be on the agenda. I don't know what's going to happen. It will be on the agenda as a possible action item, but we may only discuss it and debate it and decide that we need to collect more information or get more input, and then we may vote on it again later. Okay? So that's sort of how the system works, and I think Trustee Gast was just trying to reiterate why you're not going to hear us say, give you a plan of action of what's going to happen from here on forward, because we simply can't. Okay? Yeah. One more, sir, and then I'm going to have to go on to something else.
I'll second that, and I think Randy's comments were originally said as a point of clarification. That's the way I took them. Mm-hmm. And the only other point I'll make is I don't care how much notice you guys put out, whether by direct mailings or on the email or raise a flag when this is going to be coming up. We still, all of us, still have to go to our neighbors and tell them what's going on. And you might have to take down some walls for the next group that shows up. But we still have to do that. This is our responsibility to get the word out of any meeting that is about us and where we live and how we live. Thank you.
And if I can, Mr. President, there's if you haven't seen it on the website, is the plan from February 2012. So between now and then, it would behoove the board to review itself of this since it's a couple years old now. But it's on the website for anybody that wants to take a look at it. I mean, this is the plan that was done. I think there were 18 task force members and the Brown County Planning Commission. But, you know, this is where a lot of that came from. But it's on the website.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
Anyone else quickly with regard to this issue? And then I'm sorry, we're going to have to move on. But again, the next board meeting, you will get a chance to revisit this, and we're going to have a discussion about it.
Not on sidewalks. I overlook something, and I'm going to be completely out of character because I'm going to say something nice. You're outgoing board members. You know, we at times disagreed. I still consider you all friends. I like all of you. I think you all did your best. It's just that sometimes your opinion is different than mine. I think you did your best to do a good job. I personally miss you. I'm going to have to pick on somebody else. So.
I'll be here, Clarence. No. Okay, is there any other public input about any other issue? Anyone who'd like to speak about any issue at all outside of sidewalks, please?
Just one,
yes, sir.
Question. When is the next meeting?
Third Tuesday in April. The board meetings are on the first and third Tuesdays of every month.
15.
2 weeks from today. Yes, sir.
Coming up in 4 years will be the 200th anniversary, the bicentennial of Brown County and Alloway, under its previous name of Menominee-ville. Was the first municipality in Brown County, and so we might want to start planning that celebration along with Brown County.
When is that?
In 2018, so it's going to be the bicentennial of Brown County. If you look at our county logo, you'll see the date on there, and Alloway was the center of Brown County. In fact, it was the first municipality between Lake Michigan and the Pacific Ocean.
We're still in the center of Brown County. Some people just don't realize it.
We're the center of the universe. Some people don't.
Well, it's kind of a bold statement, but it's true.
Anyone else who'd like to speak this evening? You're welcome to stay, but thank you for coming. I really do appreciate your
thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
You guys sure you don't want to stick around for neighborhood electrical vehicles?
Trustee Kopisch isn't even sticking around. Yeah. Like,
I wrote you in today, so you could that one vote might be enough.
Put your hand.
Item number 5, action regarding the adoption of ordinance 2014-07, repealing and recreating neighborhood electric vehicle ordinance. Is there a motion with regard to this item? I have a point of clarification, I guess, before. Maybe that's why I'm not getting a motion. Is the only thing that's changed, Tracy, is the category of low-speed vehicle, the LSVs, and the clarification that the neighborhood electric vehicles are a subset or a denomination of low-speed vehicles? Is that?
The question came up at the last village board meeting. Let me ask them. A three-wheeled vehicle was considered
a... Oh, so that's the only...
That's the only thing that was clarification. So it is just a four-wheel. That's what the federal standard is right now. It may change in the future, but that's what is considered a low-speed vehicle, which in Wisconsin is called a MEV. So that was the clarification that the board wanted after the last meeting.
I would move to adopt that ordinance change.
Is there a second? Trustee Gast? Can you refresh my memory? When this first came out, I thought Mark was saying that we don't even need a neighborhood electric vehicle ordinance because we don't have any anymore and they're now called something else. Are we just talking about LSVs then? Or
no, the reason we looked at this or revisited it had to do with he was getting some calls on golf carts.
On golf carts, yeah.
So we put that in. NEV does not include an electric golf course cart.
Okay.
So that was part of the reason, and then he revisited this to make sure all the verbiage was correct and it met federal and state standards. So that's the biggest change, is adding golf carts, and then the definition of it was changed too. To the
4 year.
Okay. Yeah. So that was really when we first started, there was an application required, but we took that out because we figured people coming through the community, how are you going to get applications for someone that lives in DePere just coming through to go to work? So we just totally took that out. So that's really the big thing.
That's how we did it the first time, isn't it?
Pardon?
That's how we did it the first time.
Right.
I think so.
4 or 5 years ago, there was a woman who was just passing through and got a permit for doing it. Okay, so we have a motion and a second already. All right, is there any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Item 6, action regarding the acceptance of the Historical Preservation Fund subgrant. Is there a motion with regard to this item? Trustee Green?
I would move to accept the total grant and fill out nomination papers for the community center and the water building.
Both the municipal buildings.
Them.
Trustee Kopisch?
Second.
Discussion? Tracy, do you want to sort of review the rules for this that you told me about last?
If you look at your agenda, it kind of talks about, if you're talking about the rules with, if we decide to do some work or so, the water building, right at the bottom, if you look at, 1 through 3, it kind of spells out, basically, if it becomes a nationally registered facility or building, if the village would decide to lease it to somebody, the lease would have to have provisions in it to provide or protect the historical character and qualities of the property, so they would have to know that they were leasing a property that's on the National Register, and there are things they can do and they cannot do. So that would have to be part of the lease.
And there's some positives to that.
There is. Yeah, because if they want it because of that, and if someone would buy it, it's the same thing. We would have to have a conservation easement is what they call it. And again, it just protects the historical character and qualities of the property. And someone may buy it because it is on the National Register, because if they go to approve it, they'll get some federal funds and some tax credits for doing that. So it is a selling point for it as well. If we decide that we want to do some work on it, or we decide that we're going to tear the building down, it's not totally prohibiting us doing that. You will just have to take a few steps before you go ahead and do that. So you'll have to go through the process, talk to the state, and make sure things are done properly and all that. So it's just, when you go do any work on it, sell it or lease it, you will just have to take a few extra steps in it than you would without it being on the National Register. When I was talking to Joe, one thing he brought up too is, the village went ahead and got our certified local government. We did that. And part of our certification is really to preserve historic buildings in our community. And for us to take the steps and say, okay, these two are qualified ones that were part of our intensive survey. They're two government buildings. And it's just a good thing to lead by example by saying, okay, we're going to try to get these on the National Register. So that's another thing that he had brought up for a reason to go ahead and do it.
Okay, and then can you explain the part about, are you aware that in fact anyone can hire someone to complete a national registration nomination, and the village cannot object to it, right? So how does that work? So anyone can submit
they could.
Paperwork and evidence that something is historically significant, and the village has no control over that, right? So it would go directly to the state, and the state would evaluate the merits of it, and if the state said yes, this is historically significant, then that would be the word.
Yeah, because it was listed as on the intensive survey, it was one of the buildings that has potential for a National Register listing. So because its potential is there, if Randy decided he wanted to put an application in for it, he could do that. The village could not object to it.
But only those properties, buildings that are currently in the survey?
Right, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And then what about the locally significant? There are other designations that aren't the...
Yes. If a good example of that is that the Village of Alloway also has a local designation that someone can go after. And, for instance, we have locally designated the guardhouse at Heritage Hill because they could not get that on the National Register because that was relocated into Heritage Hill. So they wanted to have some kind of designation, so they went with local designation. Local designation is different than the national. There's some different criteria that are set forth. There's a form that has to be completed. There's different stipulations that they'll have to meet if they decide to do any work on it. They have to do a certificate of appropriateness, which comes in, and the Historic Preservation Committee looks at it, and it lists everything they're going to do on that building. They look at it, our building inspector looks at it, and then it's approved or disapproved. So there, as a locally designated site, they have to go through some steps, too, if they decide to do that. And
does that include the Village Board, or does it?
Village Board does get involved in that as well. They're the final approval of it.
Okay.
Let's say Craig could nominate my house as a local designation, and he thinks it should be, and I don't really buy that. You know, I'm like, no, I really don't want mine locally designated. I can come to the board. He can nominate me, but I can come to the Historical Preservation Committee. I can come to the Village Board and say, I just am not in favor of this, and I would recommend or ask that you do not put it in place. So anybody can nominate a facility or a building, but the owner can object if they choose to, and then the Historical Preservation or Village Board can say, we're not going to go ahead with that.
They can object, but can they veto it?
As a local, yes.
Yes.
Not
yes.
The homeowner.
Homeowner.
No, that's what I'm saying.
The right. Homeowner. They can object, but they can't veto it. Someone else could do it. And then the Historical Preservation Committee or Village Board could say, we're not going to go ahead with that if they decided not to. And the reason behind that, as Joe explained to me from the state, let's say the village has a facility that is just so historically significant that we really want to preserve it. But Penny lives there, and she's not real wild about preserving it. She would like it not to be, you know, a local designated landmark. We could elect it, and we could go ahead, and the Historic Preservation Committee and the Village Board can both say, because of this great historical significance for our community, even though the owner is currently saying, I really don't want it on there, you can locally designate
right.
it. She can still tear it down. She can still do things, but, she would have certain steps that she would have to take. So it just puts a longer timeline in there for a historic building to have some more public review and, you know, public access to it before it's torn down.
It's good to know there's local control of local designation. I mean, that makes sense.
Right.
But I wouldn't put it beyond some other agency to say it's local designation, but the Village Board has no control over whether or not it's approved. And I'm happy to hear that both the Historic Preservation Committee and the Village Board would be able to hear the evidence, including with the homeowner happens to think about it.
Yes.
Unless there are objections, I'll open up briefly to a visitor or two. Mr. O'Rourke?
Hi. Jim O'Rourke, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. I was on the intensive survey team. And I'm also a member of the Historic Society and a variety of historic societies. I don't think that Tracy's understanding of the way that the village has written their law is accurate. I'm not an attorney, but I studied it. And a homeowner is not allowed to opt out of designation either on the local or federal level once somebody else has decided to go ahead and nominate that property. And we had an issue with this locally here, both on the Bishop's building and on a residence that was torn down. There was a very vocal, small vocal group that wanted that stopped, and they tried to push their views on private property owners. So as a realtor, I always represent the best interest of a private property owner. And so even though I like history, I always lean more towards private property rights. So I don't think that property owners can opt out, have a veto power on their property, not being...
That's what I heard Tracy say, that
yeah.
they cannot
yeah.
veto it.
So,
they can.
So
they can come oppose it, but
right.
they can't
right.
veto.
Right.
Right. So that, and then also, As part of this discussion in the memo that was here, item number two was one of the alternates was to choose the Bishop Fox Mausoleum. My suggestion would be to review page 67 of the intensive survey, and there's clearly a mistake when they evaluated Heritage Hill. Heritage Hill was supposed to, was originally designated in the field notes as a historic as a historic district, and the state came through and rejected that suggestion. So that was one of the 13 districts that was identified by the contractor as historically significant, and the state rejected it and told them to take it out, and that would be in the field notes. And that's important because the courthouse monument is in need of dire repair, and we've been asked by Heritage Hill to somehow find money to repair that. And one of the ways that you do that is by telling the story, by getting the courthouse monument on the National Register, and that would help Heritage Hill. So if you decide not to do the water building, I would suggest that you revisit at least the section from the intensive survey that was done on Heritage Hill. They said that we have to wait another 50 years before Heritage Hill can be designated as a historic district, and that's not correct. So there's a big discrepancy between what was written in this in the report and what is the actual case. If you had somebody with an objective eye take a look at the field notes from Heritage Hill, from the Heritage Hill part of the study. So that was one of 13 districts. That's our most historically significant area, and the courthouse is probably one of the most significant locations in the state. It's so important to the state that they decided to paint a picture of the inside of the courthouse in the Supreme Court down in Madison. So that's on the website. It's a very important site, and that the one thing that we have that is clearly of national importance would be at least the monument there that says this is where the courthouse was. Because the courthouse is now gone. That was one of the original landmarks that we had. It was put in the 1930s. The Daughters of the American Revolution came through, put big markers on. It's always been marked by the state, and they thought it was so important that they painted it as a mural in the walls of our Supreme Court down in Madison.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else who'd like to speak on this issue? Okay, we'll take up the rules. I have a question for you, Trustee Guest. Do you currently or used to sit on the board of Heritage Hill? Or
I currently sit on the corporate board.
On the corporate board. Have you heard anything from Mr. Pelkey about any of this?
No, there's been no discussion about that. I mean, on our agenda there hasn't been any recent discussion about any of these issues.
And I'm not sure I remember him visiting this board. I think maybe years ago he visited it. I'm not sure.
But he's not there anymore. Yeah. Yeah, he hasn't been there for a while. Six months or 9 months.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Charles.
In regard to Heritage Hill, the reason, and Jim hit it right on the head, the reason that it does not qualify as a district is because of the fact that buildings are moved in there.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point, what the state said, if there's a point where they've moved their last building in there and it's been there 50 years, then they could reapply. But because of the fact, and that's why the guardhouse, when the guardhouse is moved in there, that could not go to the National Register either because it's relocated. So the Heritage Hill, it's very historical in nature. There's a lot of great things there, but it does not qualify for a National Register district, or buildings in there do not qualify because of their relocation. So
it's because it's not really a district. It's
right.
Like a made-up district.
Yes.
It didn't really happen in history.
Right. Yes, that's how the state looks at it. So, and in regard
go ahead.
The diocese building, we did. Barb Kalkrud was going to come this evening, but she's under the weather.
Okay.
But she's been working with someone from the diocese, and they sounded like they may be interested sometime in the future in looking at a nomination for the mausoleum there. So, but they were still working in the process. She did not get a definite answer from them at this point.
Okay. The building in question seems to be the Green Avenue Water building. And Trustee Green and Trustee Kopich, what compels you to include? I understand the argument of leading by example and having municipal buildings included, but what compels you about that building that you think it should be included in the?
The construction of the construction of the building is very unique. And it can be turned into something pretty interesting. I mean, so not only is it the construction, it's the first water building we had. It's the first place water was distributed through the village at. And when you look at the evolution of towns and villages once water comes, free-flowing water, mm-hmm. And it's a cool building. It just to me comes down to it is old. It's our first, and it's a really cool building. And for people to have access to funding,
what do you like about that's what I'm
to be able
at.
To do something with. I don't know. Penny and I joke about Kavarna East because you know just the whole front of that building, and then being able to do something with the water tank. If you had an egress and put some skylights in, and there was talk at one point about a private family actually buying it and turning it into a house. I mean, it's got some really good
potential.
Yeah.
Trustee Kopich, why do you like the idea?
From the standpoint, it might provide some investment credits.
Yeah.
So making it more marketable and likely to preserve it.
Yeah, because somebody trying to fund the whole thing on their own.
Yeah. I recently went and stayed at the Brewhouse Inn and Suites in Milwaukee, which is the old Pabst Brewery, and they have pre and post, and it's unbelievable the transformation. I mean, they kept all; it's still a place of historical significance. But I never would have thought to be able to turn that into what it's turned into. So I hear a lot of people talking about this water house, and I understand it was the first, but I always like to ask people, what do you see, where do you see the potential in there? Because I'm just not that creative to think of what it could be.
I think it could be a really neat restaurant. Mm-hmm. I mean, it just, and I hadn't thought of it as a house till the family came to us, but I'm like, you know, that is potential as a cool house. Have you toured the whole building and been in the water tank?
Yeah.
That's why he's not excited.
That's exactly right.
Well, good. Well, I'm glad you saw the past building before it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That really did have an impact. The idea of us making sure that we lead by example and that we can't expect other people to consider this if we're not is pretty compelling to me. And I wanted to ask the question.
Another one to look at is Archetype. They have left one wall, I love it, under plexiglass where you can see how the shape of that building when they started and then... We've got some great examples of people doing things with some buildings you never would have thought could be restored.
Any further discussion? The motion on the floor is to submit both buildings. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Item 7, action regarding the award of the construction contractor for the 2014 reconstruction project. Is there a motion with regard to this item? Trustee Zeller?
I will move to approve the award to DeGroote Construction, the low bidder. It's base bid only is what we're approving, and the bid amount is $2,525,000. $131.21, and that is also in line with the approval that was voted on in Public Works prior to this meeting.
Good, thank you. Is there a second? Trustee Green seconds. Discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Item 8, action regarding the approval of the Arthritis Foundation Walk fundraiser on May 4th, 2014. Is there a motion with regard to this item? Trustee Kopich? Is there a second? Trustee Genrich? Discussion? couldn't follow this first map, and I could follow the second map.
Are they the same?
It's Green Isle.
I got totally screwed up on that one.
Green Isle, but then it goes down into Kiwanis Park, right?
The first one is just on East River Drive in front of Green Isle Park.
1 mile route.
Oh, that's the 1 mile route, and the other one's longer.
Okay. It's 3 miles.
I thought I was supposed to be reconciling these two maps. I don't see the similarities.
Okay. You can do both. You know.
Brad, is this the first time they've done it?
This one, yes.
Yeah.
This is a brand new event.
Is that a Sunday?
Sunday,
May 4th.
Sunday, yes.
Because I think the MS walk or something is on Saturday. It's the same place, right?
I thought the MS walk was on. What's on Libel?
I think that was a later date.
Is it? Okay.
That's not the year.
I guess it doesn't matter. Not the same day.
Walking and running.
They pay for the crossing, the police crossing, and the. How long does this take? 3-4 hours? 4 hours?
We're looking at 350 people. I would think it's going to be less than that.
Yeah.
And by the time they do their, get everyone together, do a little, the pre kickoff and post.
Okay. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. We'll take 9A through double C. C2. Unless there are objections, you want to if someone wants to separate them out? Is there a motion with regard to items 9A through D? Trustee Gass?
Move to approve.
Is there a second? Trustee Genrich seconds. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. April 20. Is that supposed to be March 25th, or is that the effective date? April 26, 2014. Debbie left the room.
I just noticed the date on the memo is April 26th.
Oh, maybe it should have been March.
Debbie, is the date on the memo supposed to be March
26th? Time warp. Kind of futuristic otherwise.
What's the date? Yes.
April Fool's, right?
Yes.
You old jester.
Craig, there's no relation to you of the person on this.
Yeah. I do have a nephew that's Christopher Barron, but he's not on Peter Street, no. He's at St. Norbert's.
Yeah, you might have moved.
Before we convene into a closed session, I just want to say in the public forum, reiterate what was said before. I have been honored to work with all three of you and really appreciate your dedication to the village. We know how many hours it takes. Sometimes, you know, during budget times, 30, 40 hours in a single week. And your families, that your spouses and some of your children have had to sacrifice as well. So the village is really indebted to all three of you.
And can I pass on from my point of view and
share
from the staff that we too appreciate. Been a great working relationship. I was on, I think, shortly after I started.
95.
I started in 95. All was on since, and Lynn, I never got to meet Lynn until the raccoons in the backyard, which I turned her in.
I had my stuff in order.
Just so you know.
And go way back, I raised daughter, worked for me many years ago, back in the 90s, early 2000 probably.
Yeah.
So, again, thank you.
And what's impressed me about this board is the expertise that we've had. It's really going to be hard to replace you, Ray, with your business and community connections. Ray knows everyone, right?
Yeah.
And, And Lynn, with her healthcare expertise and the way she's prepared, is unbelievable. And double dipping is now a trademark for copyrighted by the Village of Alloway. And Paul, with your financial acumen and the way that you explore outside of the meetings, it's Jim, if you're lucky or unlucky enough to be elected this evening, you are going to have really big shoes to fill. So we appreciate all three of you for your individual talents and your dedication.
You're here.
Yep, we miss you all.
Yeah.
And so drinks are on me at the Lorelei. We didn't announce it, but you're no longer trustees after this meeting.
Can we just take the money?
We'll discuss that, right?
Yeah.
Is there a motion to convene into closed session pursuant to Wisconsin Statute 19.851C to consider employment, promotion, compensation, or performance evaluation data of public employees over which the Village Board has jurisdiction and exercises responsibility?
Okay, thanks. Good luck,
Jim. Trustee, can you repeat what I just said, Trustee
Dart? I agree.
Second, Trustee Genridge. Roll, please. Trustee Dart.
Aye.
Trustee Genridge.
Aye.
Trustee Gass.
Aye.
Trustee Zeller.
Aye.
Trustee Green.
Aye.
Trustee Kopisch.
Aye.